Tim Walton strikes again. Ohio State's cornerback coach continues to do what is needed to get four-star cornerbacks to commit to the Ohio State University. Who is the most recent commitment from? Calvin Simpson Hutt. What is intriguing about this commitment? Well, we'll tell you right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Friday, July 1st in the year 2022, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. On today's episode, we will discuss USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten and how them joining the conference impacts the Ohio State University. But first, Tim Walton has only been Ohio State's cornerbacks coach since January of this year, but he continues to do big things on the recruiting trail as his impact on Calvin Simpson Hunt, on Hunt's recent official visit to Ohio State, did the trick and did what was needed for Calvin Simpson Hunt to decommit from Texas Tech and then less than an hour later commit to the Ohio State University. Tim Walton has been doing amazing things, and bringing Calvin Simpson Hunt to Ohio State is a big deal. Calvin Simpson Hunt, a four-star cornerback from the state of Texas, 6 foot even, 175 pounds. He is the number 16th ranked corner via 247 Sports and the 30th ranked recruit in the 2023 recruiting class from the state of Texas. He is a speedster. Those of you that like track and field, you'll understand and recognize how good some of these numbers are from this young man as he runs on the track. He ran a 10.67 100-meter dash at his junior year of high school, 21.77 200-meter dash during his junior year as well, and he was the second leg of the 6A regional qualifying 4x100-meter relay team. Sophomore year, we're in 11.01 in 100, 22.12 in the 200. He's getting faster in the speed he currently possesses. I like that, being a part of this unit. Now, his commitment was a little interesting. I just kind of laid out how he decommitted from Texas Tech, or mentioned decommitted from Texas Tech, and then committed to Ohio State literally less than an hour later. Oh, it's right there, timeline, right there on his Twitter page from one post to the next. However, let's go back to last year and see what transpired between his commitment to Texas Tech and what happened between that and him committing to the Ohio State University. Well, he committed to Texas Tech without even having an offer from the school. I mean, simply let that sink in for you. Not having an offer and committing to the school. You must really want to go there really bad if they have even offered you and you're saying, yes, I want to play college football. Well, he committed to the school November 1st of last year, got an offer literally 8 days later on November the 9th. Got an offer from Ohio State on May 4th of this year, and here's where things get even more interesting. He took an official visit to Ohio State June 17th through June 19th. The very following week, took an official visit to Texas Tech, June 24th through the 26th. There was a crystal ball prediction from Steve Wolfong, national recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports, on June 27th, predicting that Hunt would commit to Ohio State. He decommitted from Texas Tech literally just yesterday, and then less than an hour later, committed to Ohio State. And I do believe Tim Walton's impact on this young man, well, two things with Tim Walton. Number one, the impact that Tim Walton had on this young man during the official visit was a big deal, and it was a big reason why he decommitted from Texas Tech. But if you want to go a little bit deeper on Tim Walton, look at his track record of coaching, where he's coached, who he is endorsed by, I think his track record being a coach on a team that won the national championship in college football. He was on Nick Saban's LSU coaching staff in 2003 as the LSU Tigers won the Natty that year. But most recently, he was in the NFL, coached in Jacksonville from 2019 to 2021. He also coached corners at for the New York Giants. He was a D coordinator for the St. Louis Rams in 2013, DB's coach for the Detroit Lions in 2009 to 2012. Then he was, before that, he was in college at Memphis, at Miami, for a few years at LSU, at Syracuse, at Memphis. He's not only someone that's recruited elite players at a high level. I mean, you're coaching at LSU and Miami. Now, I know this is not Miami during the 90s and the 80s, but it's still Miami football in a time period where elite guys want to go there. And Tim Walton is that guy. He has been around coaching in college for quite a long time. Used to play at Ohio State, play football at Ohio State, was in the NFL, and has a track record and has been endorsed by Jalen Ramsey, one of the best DBs in the NFL. I think all of those things go into the impact and to the effect of Ohio State has been a factory, has done a phenomenal job of recruiting and developing really good cornerbacks. Right now, they're working with Denzel Burke. Can he progress and get better off of last year? I believe so. That's to be determined. We'll have to see what he does in year two as Ohio State's best corner on the team. But Tim Walton himself, been around for a very long time. He has seen the progression and the change of young athletes from his time beginning coaching, his time playing, until now. I believe all of that went into the Tim Walton effect, and it had a great impact and effect on Calvin Simpson Hunt during his official visit to Ohio State. I don't think this is the last corner that will commit to Ohio State this week. We talked about a couple days ago. Daniel Harris and Jermaine Matthews Jr. are set to make their announcements about where they're going to play college football today, literally today. Jermaine Matthews Jr. probably is an Ohio State guy. I don't think I'm leaning more Matthews Jr. to Ohio State, Daniel Harris not. But if Tim Walton is able to get both of them, baby, 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 this might be the hire of the year. And I'm not trying to use hyperbole. This could be the hire of the year because being able to recruit like this right away when you get to a new school, that, my friends, is a big deal. What else is a big deal? USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten Conference. Why is it a big deal? We'll tell you next right here on Locked On Buckeyes. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcast, news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. One thing I did not expect to happen while discussing conference realignment was for two schools in LA, in Southern California, to reach out to the Big Ten and say, hey, we want to leave our current conference to join what you guys are doing in that part of the country. Recently on Locked On Big Ten, myself and the host, Nate Dickinson, I am on Locked On Big Ten every Monday. And Nate and I had a discussion about conference realignment and who could be next. I believe it was around the time when BYU, Cincinnati, and those schools were leaving their conference a little earlier than expected to join the Big 12. And Nate and I had a discussion about that, what it means, and who could possibly be the schools to join the Big 10. Well, out of my mouth, I went a little crazy to some, but it does make sense. You think about teams that are rivals leaving their conference to join another conference. We saw Texas and Oklahoma leave the Big 12 to join the SEC, their rivals, and of course, they kind of roll together. So be it. I said at the time, Duke and North Carolina leaving the ACC to go to the Big Ten makes sense. Now, you may say, Jay, on the football field, it doesn't. But on the basketball court and the other sports, it absolutely does. And those schools line up with a lot of the things that the Big Ten Conference wants to do. I didn't think that it would be USC and UCLA. No sirree, Bob. That did not cross my mind. Why would LA schools want to come to the Big Ten? Why would they want to play the schools in football or basketball or whatever other sport there is? Why would they want to do that? Money talks, baby. Money definitely talks. With there being rumors that with the new TV deal, every Big Ten conference will make possibly $100 million a year. I think that that makes a lot of sense from schools that are trying to build things and trying to get better, and money's going to help them accomplish a lot of their goals. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for them to join the Big Ten. I think it's bigger than what a lot of people think. Now, I put a poll out there on the Twitter, actually a few hours, maybe an hour or so before recording this podcast, in regards to, is this a bigger move than Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC? My initial response was no, it's not a bigger move than that. I think Texas and Oklahoma impact more sports than just football. I think, and when you talk about the spring sports and the other sports that aren't the big two in football and basketball, I think Texas and Oklahoma, especially going through the SEC, I think it's going to be more SEC dominance in sports like baseball, softball, and track and field. I think that that's going to be just way more dominant for them in those sports. We get so caught up and wrapped up into the football and the basketball. Those are the big sports. Those are the money makers. Those are the things that we watch on the television. That's just what happens. And so, no, I don't think it's a bigger move than that. I do think for the Big Ten, you've already told us the Big Ten has. They're willing to stretch their footprint for quite a while, that for quite a long way. They went out to Nebraska. Some say that's Midwest. Some say that's not Midwest. That's a discussion for you guys to have in your own free time. But then they went out to Rutgers in Jersey. They went down a little bit further than that to Maryland. And they said, hey, we're going to stretch our TV footprint out west to Nebraska, out east to Jersey and to Maryland. But now let's go a little bit further. Now, the one thing I like about this is that the Big Ten was not seeking to add anybody. Find it odd. But I like that they were the conference that these two rivals, USC and UCLA, sought out and said, hey, we want to join you. We want to join what you guys are doing over there. When everyone gets so wrapped up and caught up in the SEC and the Southeastern Conference, it just means more. And I'll tell you another day what I think about the SEC and their football and how they prioritize football. And they've done that for a very long time. But in a world where you say, hey, I want to go where the money is, money talks, and you go to the Big Ten, well, that makes sense. The Big Ten is known as the team or the conference that has the best TV deals. Honestly, if you look at the split in the share of the Big Ten revenue, Big Ten money that is made from the Big Ten network and things like that, it makes a whole lot of sense that they make more money than the SEC, because the SEC network, that's an ESPN property. It's ESPN's thing. That's Disney. The Big Ten Conference makes a lot of money. I want to say it's a 51-49 split where Fox gets 51%, and then the Big Ten Conference gets 49% of the share for the Big Ten Network. I mean, hello, that's going to help. And then when you have schools like Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, I'm going to throw Iowa in the mix as well, that are teams that people want to watch. I should have said Iowa, but I already did. That really want to sit there and get, eyeballs are drawn to the television screen when they're playing the football. It makes a lot of sense that USC and UCLA want to do things monetarily that they can't currently do right now in the Pac-12 conference. Is this it for the Big Ten? I'm going to get more to the impact of this here in a hot second. But is this it for the Big Ten? Will they add more schools? Where there was a report from Fifth Quarter, it's a company that I saw this on Twitter. And so I don't believe everything that I see on Twitter. I don't, but it could be true that Oregon and Washington could be the next two schools to join the Big Ten. If you want to go Pacific Northwest, Southern California, all the way to Jersey and Maryland and all the other schools that are in between that are in the Big Ten, great. So go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do that thing. I still think it would make sense for North Carolina and Duke to join the Big Ten Conference. But as it goes right now, the Big Ten is set to add USC and UCLA in 2024. I believe the exact date is August the 2nd, 2024. But could it be 18 schools by that time? Could it be 20 schools? Could it be the Big Ten Conference and the SEC Conference? The Big 12 goes away. the ACC goes away, could that be something that we're looking at? It's possible. It could very much be something to where it's professionalized and it's going to be just like the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, or even the NHL, where you have two conferences, and inside those conferences, there are divisions. People are going away from said divisions. But at some point in time, you could easily split it into two, North and South, have your divisions. And then at that point, which I don't think is something that I do think is going to benefit the sport. Well, monetarily it will. I don't think it's the best way to get a national champion. But you could see something to where I'm not the biggest fan of expansion. I'm not going to go on a little journey with you. Be able, if you do that route, which maybe seems crazy, but it could be what we're going to. If you go that route to have a North and South and have divisions that way, East, Central, and West, you could easily have the NCAA run. I've been saying this for a while. NCAA run the playoff for college football, and maybe it would work. Crazier things have happened. I think the NCAA would do a phenomenal job of running the tournament. Yeah, they would probably boost that thing to 16 teams, maybe even 24 or 32. That's a lot. That's a lot. Trust me, that's a lot. From our used to having no national championship game to two teams to four teams in a playoff, yeah, it would be a lot to have up to 32 teams. But the NCAA does one thing very, very well, and nobody can deny it. They run a really good tournament every single year. Run a really good tournament in every sport. Just let them run college football at the highest level. It makes sense for everybody involved. Does it make sense for Ohio State to play teams in LA? How does this move impact the Buckeyes? We'll discuss that next right here on Locked On Buckeyes. There's always an impact when you think about adding schools that are from another geographical region that you add in there from a different time zone. No, it's not the central time zone. No, it's not mountain time. This is literally Pacific time. 3-hour time difference, a 3-hour time difference. And you think about the impact of adding schools from that time zone, you immediately think, or I do, well, what time will the game start? I mean, there's different factors we can look into and talk about. How does this impact Ohio State? How does USC and UCLA affect you and I? Not even the players or the coaches or the ADs or the TV executives. How does it affect us? Because, yeah, we can look at the players, look at the coaches, look at the game times, look at everything there else there. But, one, how does it affect us? I think the one way it affects us is the times of the games. I mean, honestly, the times of the games mean something. Because football's one thing. USC, UCLA, Ohio State, USC will probably be a primetime slot, 8 p.m. Eastern time for us. Could there be a time when USC hosts Ohio State or UCLA hosts Ohio State at 10:30 p.m. Eastern or 11 p.m. Eastern to get a 7:30 or an 8 o'clock Pacific time kickoff? It's possible. But like I mentioned a tweet earlier talking about how I'm not ready for a late-time kickoff game between USC and Ohio State in 2024. Personally, I don't think that's wise for them to do that. But I do think USC might be pushing at some point saying, hey, if we have to play 9 a.m. kickoff games local time for us against these East Coast teams, why don't they have to play games late in the day for us? If we have to make things and accommodate, and they're making it, you know, if we have to accommodate them and their time zone, well, why don't they have to come into our lap, into our home, and play under our, what we're used to? Just saying. These are real things. So the time zone thing is real. Before Ohio State, specifically football, I'll get into the basketball conversation here in a minute because that's a whole nother can of worms. But for football specifically, I do think you're going to see a couple things. One, USC and UCLA, with there being no divisions coming up in the Big Ten Conference. Yeah, the Big Ten gave us a sign about that. Where they took off the schedules for 2023 and beyond off of their website. And so I do anticipate the Big Ten going with a divisionless football conference coming up very, very soon. That does open the door for USC and UCLA to play in the Big Ten championship game. I mean, automatically, I do anticipate Lincoln Riley to do some phenomenal things out there in L.A. with USC. I do expect Chip Kelly to do some phenomenal things, especially when UCLA gets a lot of that money coming from the Big Ten TV deals. I do think they'll be able to do some phenomenal things with their facilities. They're already playing in two iconic stadiums, USC and the L.A. Coliseum. The Rose Bowl is where UCLA plays. Yes, those are their home fields. And so I do think that those two schools are going to do phenomenal things and be able to recruit a whole lot, and have better facilities and be places that recruits, high school recruits, want to come play the football. I do honestly believe that. And so Ohio State is going to have added competition when it comes to who they might play in the Big Ten Conference Championship game. Also, logistically, we talk about time slots and the times of these games. How about we talk about this? The Big Ten is already in talks to potentially, when it's down the road, it does make sense for them to, at some point, have the Big Ten Conference Championship game in SoFi Stadium, where the Rams play. I think Rams and Chargers share a stadium. They're in L.A. That does make a lot. Now, you may say, Jay, why? It's L.A. That's why. Yeah, I live in Indianapolis, Indiana. I've lived here most of my life. L.A. is different. I'm just saying. Now, logistically, for those games, it's not ideal for teams from Columbus or from over there in Pennsylvania or a school in Madison, Wisconsin, or things like that to leave where they are a few days earlier to go to L.A. Now, it doesn't make sense for Midwest Conference to play a thing in L.A., but it's literally L.A. For basketball, however, here's where things get tricky. There was a time this past year, I was planning on watching a lot of Gonzaga basketball, and they were on TV a lot. They were on the ABC, the ESPN, the ESPN2. Gonzaga was playing a lot of elite-level non-conference games. Since their conference is not the strongest, they wanted to get a lot of the stronger competition in the non-conference slate. And so they were playing a lot of really good games, really good top-tier teams. I mean, top 10, AP top 10 teams during their non-conference schedule. And those games are tipping off at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. At night. Think about how up in arms we get during basketball season when there is a 9 p.m. or a 10 p.m. tip off of a basketball game and it's Ohio State versus whoever it is. I know how I get. Buddy, my ability to stay up late is still there. But it's not as freely flowing as it used to be. We are going to get some games in basketball, whether it's going to be a 10 o'clock Eastern time tip-off, 7 p.m. local up there in L.A. when UCLA or USC is hosting Ohio State, and it's going to be a game on ESPN or ESPN2, maybe the Big Ten Network. And the networks are going to have to accommodate these later tip-offs for a Midwestern conference that's primarily in the Eastern time zone. These are things that are going to happen. Now, you may say, Jay, I'm not a big basketball fan. That is true. Ohio State fans are primarily football-oriented. However, a lot of you still watch Ohio State basketball, and if it's a UCLA or a USC, trust me, these are two good basketball programs. UCLA, one of the better blue bloods in college basketball history. And so trust me, there is going to be a time where you're going to be like, well, I don't want to watch, but I'm going to watch. But wait, it's a late tip-off. Do I really want to watch and stay up that late? I got to get up early in the morning for work. What's going to happen? These are all real-time things you want to think about. We're talking about how this is going to impact the Ohio State University. This is going to happen. It might sound crazy to you, but this is reality. Time zones is a real thing. Starts of times, it's a real thing. Now, think about that for us. Here's another factor in our close-up shop. Let's just say Ohio State has a game on a Thursday, on a Sunday, and then on a Tuesday. Think about this. Ohio State has a home game on a Thursday against Michigan State. They have to hop on a plane immediately, fly out to L.A., play a game against UCLA on a Sunday afternoon. For you, it'll be, let's say, a 3:30 p.m. Eastern time tip-off. It'll be 12:30 local time out there in L.A. Then you have to immediately hop on a plane and then play a game on a Tuesday back in Columbus. Now, remember, you're adding in, these are college students. They have class. They have to study. You're also dealing with a time zone adjustment, not just one going to LA, another one, not so as drastic because you haven't been there in that place for a week, but you still have to do that once again, going back to Columbus to play a game on a Tuesday. Now, granted, they might do a Thursday, a Sunday, then a Wednesday, but it's still a Sunday. That's 2 days in between a game where you were just in LA. You may say, Jay, they're college students. They can adjust. I would say, yes, they can adjust. But my pushback to that is, buddy, that just sounds weird. That just sounds insane. But once again, this is reality. This is what the Big Ten has accepted. Two very prominent, preeminent schools out there in Southern California, UCLA, USC, coming to the Big Ten Conference. There's a lot that goes into that. A lot of it. I can even go into the factor of the non-revenue sports, the Olympic sports, how did it impact them? Trust me, we may be talking about this for a while because there are different angles to look at when it comes to how this joining of the Big Ten and their adding of USC and UCLA, how it impacts the Ohio State University. I'm closing up shop. It's just a fun time. It's a feel-good Friday. I got the feel-good Friday hat with the Nintendo controller on my head. And I hope you guys have a great time today and get ready to enjoy a fun holiday weekend. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. Thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen of every single day. Now is the perfect time to check out the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Know what your team is up against across the Big Ten with Locked On Big Ten. Everyday host Nate Dickinson and the local experts of Locked On take you across the Big Ten in 30 minutes or less. Make Locked On Big Ten your second listen of the day. That is, check out Locked On Big Ten wherever you get your fine podcast.